Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2524 with a release date of Friday, March 13th, 2026 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. De-expeditioners face new restrictions on a South Pacific island. The World Radio Sport Team Championship prohibits symbols identifying home nations, and a 2-meter simplex challenge for everyone. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2524 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
While most every DX chaser's eyes have been on Bouvet Island in the South Atlantic lately, another de-expedition planned for later this month has taken on new importance for activators in the South Pacific. New restrictions will be enforced soon that are expected to limit access there. Here's Graham Kemp, PK4BB, with an update.
The Rebel DX Group's plans to operate as Tango 31 Tango 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 this month from Canton Island in central Kiribati could well be the last for amateur radio for a long time, according to a report from organisers on the website DX World. Dom 3 Delta 2 USU said, "The nation's fisheries and environmental officials have put in place a full array of costs affecting visitors." He said that these new permit fees and other requirements will impose a great financial burden on teams. De-expeditioners will need to provide accommodation, food and transportation for 4 government officials who will need to be present on any future visits to Canton. He said that, in simple terms, future Canton Island de-expeditions will cost about $200,000, which makes Tango 31 prohibitive. The obstacles are not unlike some of the restrictions the same group of operators face for its hoped-for trip to Conway Reef, 3 Delta 2 Oblique Charlie. Since Rebel DX's 2024 operation there in May of 2024 as 3 Delta 2 Charlie Charlie Charlie, Fiji's Ministry of Fisheries has begun moving forward declaring it a restricted access zone. The group announced in January that, with those plans in mind, the hams are accelerating their plans for an activation there. Meanwhile, the de-expeditioners are hoping to get to Canton Island and be on the air sometime around March 25. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Symbols of national pride and national identity are not being permitted at this year's World Radio Sport Team Championship. Dave Lee, M7TLB, brings us up to date.
Spectators and participants can expect to see plenty of things at the World Radio Sport Team Championship event in the UK this coming July. There will be antennas, rigs, cables, microphones and keys, and plenty of spectators to cheer on the hams using them. What will not be evident anywhere are any emblems, flags or other symbols of national identity. The organising committee of WRTC 2026 has reaffirmed the approach that was used during the WRTC event held in 2023 in Bologna, Italy. That means that, as before, this year's teams will avoid national symbols of any kind. This is especially significant because it's consistent with the competition's qualification process, which identifies all participants by qualification area and not by their DXCC. Like the Olympics, the WRTC is held every 4 years with different host countries each time, and they have included Brazil, Finland, Germany, Russia, Slovenia, and, in the US, San Francisco, Boston, and Seattle. This is Dave Lee, M7TLB.
Hams in the Australian state of New South Wales are worried that they will no longer be able to afford their vital repeater sites. Faced with fee hikes on state-owned land known as Crown Land, they say they simply aren't budgeted for the extra expense. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, picks up the story from here.
Amateurs in New South Wales are troubled by what they believe are prohibitive fee hikes recently put in place for access to Crown Land. Calling the situation unsustainable for amateur repeaters and other equipment installed there, the president of the Goulburn and Southern Highlands Amateur Radio Society has written a letter to ham clubs around the state urging members to contact their members of parliament. In his open letter to the clubs, Pete Chatwin, VK2PET, the Radio Society's president, noted that new or continued access to elevated Crown Land sites for repeaters and towers could cost clubs as much as $20,000 Australian dollars per annum. Pete said that Hams need to substantiate their own club's financial hardship by forwarding examples to Steph Cook, member for Cootamundra and Shadow Minister for Crown Lands. Pete wrote, quote, "It's important that we provide genuine, practical examples of how these costs are affecting clubs across New South Wales," end quote. He said the groups in rural areas, as well as those providing emergency communications and training, rely on robust functioning networks that include these sites. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Actions taken in the past year by the head of the U.S. Agency for Global Media, which oversees the Voice of America, have been ruled unlawful by a federal judge. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, tells us what happened.
A federal court has ruled that Carrie Lake's oversight of the agency responsible for Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, and other shortwave news broadcast networks was in the position illegally. Her appointment to the post, which she gave up last November, was made last July without the customary confirmation by the U.S. Senate. Lake told the website Politico that the government intends to appeal the decision, which she strongly disagrees with. Her brief tenure was marked by the firings of staff and dismissals of contractors, withholding of funds to Radio Free Europe and Radio Free Asia, and a contract with the far-right news provider One America Network. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The Hamvention Award winners have been announced, and Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, is here to tell us who they are.
Four influential U.S. amateurs in a well-known club based in New York State have been chosen to receive this year's Hamvention Awards. The Technical Achievement Award is being given to Robert Famiglio, K3RF, whose 6 decades as a ham radio operator are followed by more than 4 decades of providing volunteer legal counsel and regulatory literacy to his fellow amateurs on a variety of issues. In addition to being a lawyer, Bob has used his ham and electrical engineering backgrounds to provide technical expertise. He has previously been involved in leadership roles in the Radio Club of America and formerly the ARRL. Dr. Jose Otis Vicens, NP4G, has been named Amateur of the Year. An orthodontist, he has also been involved in de-expeditions at various locations globally, including Bouvet Island. His most recent de-expedition took him to the Sacheo Island, where he operated as part of the KP5/NP3VI team. Otis's leadership role in emergency communication provided vital coordination during the 2017 Puerto Rico hurricanes, as well as follow-up. Special Achievement Awards have been given to Martha Fell, N3QBE, and Joe Fell, W3GMS, for their longtime mentorship of students of all ages and interests through a program that they have organized and a weekly technical net that welcomes newcomers as well as professional engineers. Hamvention is also recognizing the Long Island CW Club as Club of the Year. Under the club's umbrella, structured online classes provide all levels of CW training, led by members for diverse groups of students around the world. Congratulations, everyone. This is Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the VK8MA repeater in Australia's Northern Territory on 7 p.m. local time. University students in Cambodia got a chance recently to focus on space communication by being part of satellite contacts and a QSO from Phnom Penh with the ISS. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us about their accomplishments.
The logbook of call sign XU7AMO, the radio club of the National Polytechnic Institute of Cambodia, once again has made contact with space. A satellite training session between the 26th of February and the 3rd of March gave 300 students a hands-on learning experience building and utilizing antenna systems, gaining an understanding of ground stations and learning to track low Earth orbit satellites. An international team joined the session to support the different activities. They included ham radio satellite technician Mikio JA3GEP and marine electronics and telecommunication system expert Paolo F5VMJ. The students focused on low Earth orbit satellites and had contact with the International Space Station. This was a follow-up to last year's session, when XU7AMO operated for the first time using the QO-100 satellite. Making their first contact with Antarctica, they had a question and answer session with DO0GVN at Neumayer 3, the German research base. That QSO had been made possible after the Cambodian Telecommunications Regulatory Commission authorized the station's use of the higher frequencies needed for the transmission. This is Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
While hams around the U.S. remain optimistic over the hoped-for passage of a national law that would prevent homeowners associations from restricting residents' amateur radio equipment, Indiana's governor has signed a new law to provide such protection for hams throughout the state. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, has that update.
Starting on the 1st of July, amateur radio antennas, towers, and feed lines cannot be restricted by homeowners associations in residential communities in Indiana. A new law signed by Governor Mike Braun will afford hams such protection on any property they rent, lease, or own within the association's purview. This is not a green light for all amateurs, however. According to the measure's language on the Indiana General Assembly website, House Bill number 1152 will only apply to homeowners associations that are formed or create documents containing such restrictions after June 30, 2026. Meanwhile, at the federal level, the Amateur Radio Emergency Preparedness Act, which would create protection nationwide, remains stalled in Washington, D.C. According to the website govtrack.us, the bill was introduced into committee on the 6th of February, where it must be considered and voted on before it can move along to either of the two main houses of Congress. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
A new antenna installation has put the beloved Hurdy-Gurdy Museum Station in Ireland back on the air, as Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us.
The sun was shining above the Hurdy-Gurdy Museum of Vintage Radio in Howth, as Tony, EI5EM, and Red Shannon, a shortwave listener, started some serious antenna work on the roof of the museum's Martello Tower. They were installing a vertical HF antenna, donated by Mike Keane, EI4DF, a gift that has put County Dublin Museum's ham radio station EI0MAR back on the air, just in time for April's International Marconi Day. The museum lost the use of the station after its previous antenna had been destroyed by storms. Although marked by periods of rain, installation day finally took place under clear skies, according to a report on the Irish Radio Transmitter's website. The tower has a celebrated role in radio history, not only because in 1902, American innovator Lee DeForest conducted experiments in wireless telegraphy, but also because it housed a Marconi receiving station that conducted ship-to-shore telegraphy experiments with HMS Monarch. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
In the world of DX, listen for MASA, JA0RQV/JD1, and RIO, JR2GYA/JD1, operating holiday style from Chichijima, IOTA number AS031, Agasawara, from 13th through the 16th of March. They are using FT8, FT4, CW, and SSB on 80 to 6 meters. Car LA8EKA is on the air as JW8EKA from Longyearbyen, IOTA number EU026, Svalbard, from the 13th through the 15th of March. He customarily operates using SSB Ready PSK31 and FT8. Listen for him on 20 to 10 meters. Paula, OK2YL, and Vlad, OK2WX, are using the call signs V31YL and V31WX, respectively, from IOTA Group NA073 Belize through the 22nd of March. They are operating holiday style using CW, SSB, and FT8 on various HF bands. Listen for Akai, JK1JXZ, operating as YJ1JXZ from Port Vila, IOTA number OC035, Vanuatu, from the 15th of March through to the 3rd of April on 80 to 6 meters. As always, QSL and other information is available on QRZ.com for these stations. In the space of 52 days, one ham isn't hoping to change the world or even change amateur radio. But he is hoping to focus some attention on the simple joys of operating 2-meter FM simplex. He's posing a challenge to everyone. And Daniel Garcia, W2DIY, brings this week's newscast to its conclusion by telling us all about it.
If you grab your HT, tune to 146.52 MHz, and call out for a contact, you are already rising to the challenge being posed by Mike N2MAK. Mike launched a project called the 5-2 Simplex Challenge at the beginning of March, and it runs through to the end of April. He is hoping to focus attention on the 2-meter FM simplex for 52 days. Mike told Newsline in an email, quote, "I often hear from other hams that there isn't much 2-meter simplex activity, and they wish there was more," end quote. Now, he hopes there is. He chose this commonly monitored frequency because he said plenty of people listen, but few people call out. He doesn't expect 52 days of nonstop activity, but as a portable operator himself, he is hopeful that there are many others like him. He intends for this to be a learning experience. Operators may get a better idea of what their stations can do and perhaps consider upgrades or changes. Depending on where they live, they may even get to experience tropospheric ducting at this time of year. Mike said one of his most memorable contacts was on 2-meter simplex right after a POTA activation. He told Newsline, quote, "It was a brand new technician who had been licensed for less than 2 weeks, and it was his first ever simplex contact. You don't forget contacts like that, no matter which side of the radio you're on. Surprises like that are what can make 2-meter simplex contacts so special and fun," end quote. To see Mike's YouTube video about the event, see the link in the text version of this week's script at arnewsline.org. This is Daniel Garcia, W2DIY.
With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, MSAT News Service, David Bihar, K7DB, DX-World.net, 425 DX Bulletin, Indiana General Post, the IRTS, James Gifford, N8KET, Mike, N2MAK, Paula, F5VMJ, Pete Chatwin, VK2PET, Phnom Penh Post, QRZ.com Forums, Radio Society of Great Britain, shortwaveradio.de, SWLN Post, Wireless Institute of Australia, WRTC, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscasts, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.